Welcome to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Here's Cole Thompson.
Hey! Coast to coast, no matter what time zone you're in, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Welcome into Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Cole Thompson back in action, getting you caught up on everything you might have missed throughout your holiday weekend. Happy 4th of July to all. Hopefully you had a memorable and safe, very, very, very safe weekend. 800-224-2004. Call the show. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you hate. Let's be real. You love everything about the show. We know you do, but we need to hear from you, the audience. That's part of the deal. The great Michael Hernandez on the other side of the glass producing. Great hour planned ahead. More news coming out with NBA free agency, especially on the Kevin Durant front. Why Kyrie Irving isn't leaving Los Angeles until he is a Laker. And speaking of those pesky LA people, let's talk about the Halos for a quick second. Plus, it is Trivia Tuesday. We have a very special one planned ahead. But I start the hour off today with this. Michael, how was your 4th of July?
It was chill, I guess.
Did you do anything? Like, did you do anything in your yard? Were you outside at all at a barbecue?
Not really. Just went to my parents' house.
So I went to my apartment pool down low, and I had a couple of buddies over, and we had a good time. It was nice. But, you know, with this show, it's very hard for you to kind of calculate when you can have, you know, your fun with, you know, adult beverages and whatnot. So I was like, hey, you know what? Not going to drink. Not going to have any of that because I want to make sure that I'm clear cut. I sent you the rundown yesterday very early, just so that way we were kind of cleared and out of the gate. For the first time in a while, I went to bed early. Like, I missed the fireworks show. And I'm okay with that. But part of the reason I did, it gets hot up here, man. I did not realize that even when you're in a pool, when you're wearing a bunch of sunscreen, when the clouds are still hanging over your head, it still gets hot. And it was scorching yesterday. But you want to know what I was really missing? And I'm sad that I didn't get. Thank God I did on Sunday. I didn't have any hot dogs. I wasn't able to find any hot dogs yesterday. And I wasn't able to find any hot dog buns. I went to the store twice. I went to 3 different stores trying to find those for a cookout. Couldn't find them. Couldn't find them anywhere. There was a bonehead move on my part, thinking that I was going to be able to find Frankfurters on the 4th of July. Come on, Cole. You're better than that. You know you're better than that. What's really frustrating is, why were there only hot dogs but not hot dog buns? Who's to say? Crazy story.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Trade rumors, whispers, and more specifically, relocation. Is any of this true, or are these all just ploys coming from the mouth of Kevin Durant and his future with the Brooklyn Nets? More specifically, his future with potentially the Golden State Warriors. It's Cole Thompson right here on Just Saying It, part of the Sports Map Radio Network, 800-224-2004. Call on the show. Let's talk about it. So, according to Mark Spears, there is a report that Kevin Durant is interested and quote-unquote intrigued about going back to Golden State for a second reunion. Not only that, the front office has let Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green all know, yes, this is a potential reality. Is it, though? Well, let's look on the first bit of the paper. What would the offer have to be to bring back Kevin Durant for the likes of Golden State? For starters, at least 3 first-round picks. I don't care what you want to say. I don't care that you can say that they have enough draft capital or that they have enough roster space or any of this. That all works. It's fine. I understand where you're coming from. You still need 3 first-round picks. This is going to be a rebuild in Brooklyn. They want picks, not just players. And even though that they could get rid of a couple of names and add them to the roster and maybe be competitive, they're not going to be competitive enough to where I think that they're actually going to contend in the Eastern Conference. So, 3 first-round picks minimum. Afterwards, you can decide what you want to give up in terms of a wing, a big, and a shooter. If you want to go ahead and give up on Jordan Poole to take less out of the deal, you could easily do that. But Poole would basically be like two selections there. If you want to go ahead and get rid of a wing, Jonathan Kuminga would probably be the best option for you internally if you're Brooklyn, because it would allow, I mean, if you're Golden State, because it would allow you to keep Andrew Wiggins. But more than likely, you would have to give Wiggins any type of deal simply because they want to get better defensively. They want to add in another player who can shoot. Wiggins offers that a little bit more, I think, than the likes of Jonathan Kuminga. And then you'd have to give up the big. James Wiseman is the easy choice. And I think if they'd be willing to move off James Wiseman, there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of holes in his game. We have a lot that we don't know about him yet. And you could easily just hit the reset button. Maybe he'll find success in Brooklyn. He'd be a big down low. He'd be really good in the paint. You'd hope that he'd be part of your foundational piece. And that's really where you are. That's the first part of this whole conversation. They have draft capital. I mean, when you look at several names alone, you could probably keep some of your picks and just work that way. I mean, honestly, if you could give up, Kuminga, if you could give up maybe Damian Lee, if you could give up, you can't give up Kayvon Looney, that's the only thing. If you could give up Poole, if you could give up Wiggins, if you can give up Wiseman, Otto Porter Jr., in some type of process, you maybe can keep several of your picks. Or you can just bet on your picks and hope that for the best and maybe even give up more picks to bring in Kevin Durant. Now, here's the other factor of this element. Does Kevin Durant want to go back to Golden State? To an extent, yes, I think he does. But not because he wants to actually be back in Golden State. I think it's more so because he wants to let everyone know, in a sense, this was always the right move. Because if you think about it, he never should have left Golden State in the first place. Never. It was always the move for him to stay there. Because when you look back at the history of what he was able to provide for Golden State, it was the best of his season. He was a two-time NBA Finals MVP. He also flawlessly transitioned into Steve Kerr's offense and made it look seamlessly like he was part of the core. And Golden State had some of its best years. But the problem is with a guy like Kevin Durant is he has to understand there comes some humility with it. Durant struggled in Brooklyn. We can admit that. We can admit that Durant was not the guy that Brooklyn thought they were getting. And the Nets that we thought were going to be one of the best teams in the NBA really were just middle of the pack. And partially that's due to Kevin Durant's injury in 2019. Partially that's due to the cluster mess that was the James Harden situation and the Ben Simmons situation. And part of that was Kyrie Irving. We can admit that all three are factors. We can also admit that the front office made some very questionable moves in the last 2 years to where you probably start lessening your hopes. Let's just go with that. Lessening your hopes is likely the better of the two words that you're looking for in this situation. Those are all facts. It's just the facts. There's nothing else I can say about that. But the other fact is that a guy like Kevin Durant would have to admit simply, I could not do this alone. He couldn't do it with Russ. He couldn't do it with Harden in Oklahoma City. He couldn't do it with Kyrie. He couldn't do it with Simmons, who didn't play. He couldn't do it with Harden in Brooklyn. But he could in Golden State. And the reality factor is Golden State can do it without Kevin Durant. Don't believe me? Look at this past season. They were, in my opinion, most complete team in the postseason. And I know what you're going to say, Cole, yes, they are the most complete team because, simply put, they won the title. No, that's not what I mean. Defensively, they were on point. They were able to shoot all across the backcourt. And they were able to drive to the paint, pick up points, without missing a beat. The bench had just as much success in a limited role as the starters did playing 30-plus minutes. If you really look back, Jordan Poole coming off the bench, getting 26 points per game on average. When you look at guys like Kuminga, when you look at guys like Gary Payton when he finally came back, and Porter, and a few other names that were out there, they averaged maybe 6 or 8 points per game, but they only played 4 minutes. So those 4 minutes, they were constantly shooting. Defensively, you watched Andrew Wiggins shut down Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and then in the Western Conference Finals, you watched him go toe-to-toe with Luka Doncic. It's simply put, they can win without Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant has to understand there is some humility with it. I couldn't win without you. Steph Curry can win without a number one superstar next to him. And yes, Klay at a point was a superstar. And yes, Draymond is somewhat still a superstar. I put him more in the star category. Andrew Wiggins probably more so to stay high-end, really solid player or a low-end star. But the superstar factor, it's just him. He's made everyone around him better. Kevin Durant hasn't done that. The reality is, if you are Kevin Durant, you are admitting a bit of failure if you go back to Golden State. At the same time, Golden State has to realize they don't need to give up everything that they want. They have some good players. They have some good depth. They have some good role players on the bench. They have a lot going for them into this season, even though they are going to have to eventually hit the free agency marker, and they are going to lose players simply due to age. But right now, they're still a competitor and a viable one, arguably the best one in the Western Conference going into 2022-2023. When you look at the situation going on right now in Golden State, if they want to go bring in Kevin Durant, they can. But they don't have to. And I don't expect them to overpay for a guy like Kevin Durant when you know that there are other options out there who probably would bring as much of an impact on this roster without giving up way too much draft capital. They're not going to sell the farm for a guy like KD. It's just not going to happen. I don't think that you'll see the Los Angeles Lakers sell the farm either for the likes of Kyrie Irving, but they may be at least a bit open, would be the better word, to bring in a guy like Kyrie. 800-224-2004. It's Cole Thompson right here on Just Saying It, calling to the show. Let's talk about the deal going on with Kyrie Irving. So according to multiple reports, Irving is right now in Los Angeles. He's meeting with the Lakers. He's had a meeting with LeBron James, and he wants to get a deal done. The reality factor is that when any team is looking at Kyrie Irving this offseason, they're not just looking at Kyrie Irving the player. They're looking at Kyrie Irving the personality. He's brash. He's bold. He has opinions. And he's a little bit prickly around the edge. But if he can work, he's a very high efficient scorer. He brings an element to the table in the backcourt. He can play average defense at best. And he provides a shooter for your team that was one of the worst shooting teams last season. At the same time, we know something that we never knew going into the year with Russell Westbrook. LeBron James works well with Kyrie Irving. They won a title. In fact, Kyrie has said multiple times the way that he handled the breakup in Cleveland was a mistake, because if he knows what an impact a guy like LeBron James brings to his career, and he's never played better. If you go and look back at Kyrie Irving's career, he's never played better than when he's worked with LeBron. LeBron also has played extremely well with guys like Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and even Russell Westbrook. But I personally believe he's been at his best at times when working with Kyrie Irving. So it's a match. We know that they work together. Russell Westbrook doesn't. He doesn't fit what Los Angeles is trying to do. And now that they bring in a new coach, and Jeannie Buss is going to have to look at the situation head on, it's a move. It's a move that they have to consider making. And it's not because they know that LeBron James is unhappy. It's not because Russell Westbrook has struggled. It's not any of that. Like Rob Pelinka could easily go ahead and make a trade tomorrow, and I don't think anybody would be shocked. But the reality is, when you look at the situation on both sides, Russell Westbrook is not going to work, and you need to contend. Think of this for a second, if you will. The city of Los Angeles has been thriving in sports for the last 10 years. It's funny how it feels like there's always like a cultural change or a coast change. Like, Michael, do you remember back in the 2010s when the New York Yankees won a title and the New York Giants won a title and the Rangers were always in the playoffs and the Mets went to a World Series? And the East Coast was very dominant in sports, and Boston won a title, and New England was really good, and just the East Coast as a whole was finding ways to be successful. You remember that, right?
Yeah, we were all jealous.
Yeah, we were all very jealous. It's kind of happening in the West Coast now, or at least there's a certain standard in the West Coast, where USC and UCLA are thriving because of the conversation of them going to the Big Ten, and they have two very efficient coaches in Chip Kelly and in Lincoln Riley. You also have the Clippers with Steve Ballmer, who's not afraid to spend exclusive money that he got from Microsoft on his organization. Plus, they have a 1-2 combination in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. The Dodgers, recently won a World Series, and they've been to multiple World Series in the past several years. The Lakers are 3 years removed from winning a title. You also have the Kings making the postseason every single year. And, of course, we are going to talk about the Los Angeles Angels, but I'll save that for another segment down the line. The expectation in Los Angeles is to not just win, but win now. I didn't even mention football in the NFL. You have the reigning Super Bowl champions in the Los Angeles Rams, and the Chargers bring in a bucket load of money. They sign a crap load of talented players, make some efficient trades, and on paper, very well could be the number two or number three team in the AFC. That's what we're looking at in Los Angeles. It's not just an expectation of winning. It's an expectation of consistency. That is what you're looking for when having a conversation in LA. And if Kyrie Irving brings that to LeBron to where they're going to be a viable contender, you have to make the move if you're Genie Buss. Keep in consideration that going into next year, LeBron James is holding out hope that his team can still be a viable NBA title contender. But if they're not, with all the other sports I just mentioned, with everything else going on in Los Angeles, where do you rank the Lakers in terms of seniority on the pecking order of sports talk? Third? Fourth? Fifth? Name the last time the Lakers weren't one of the lead subjects in LA. You can't find it. And the main reason why is because of they've always been a main subject in LA. With everyone else thriving, everyone else expanding, everyone else getting better, you have to stay relevant. The best way to stay relevant as of now would be bringing in Kyrie Irving. We know he works well with LeBron. We know they need a shooter. And we know they need somebody on the backcourt that gives them a little bit more offensive efficiency that Russell Westbrook never did. I don't see a way where Kyrie Irving is not a Laker at this point. I don't think I can say the same thing about Kevin Durant with, say, perhaps Golden State. But Kyrie is going to be a Laker. You can probably book that now. Coming up next, speaking of Los Angeles, is it time, finally, for the Angels to blow it up come 2023? We'll talk about that right here on Just Saying It, part of the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
There's so much to explore at Total Wine & More. And when you discover your new favorite bottle of Cabernet or Chardonnay, well, you discover a whole lot more. So explore the wondrous selections and totally low prices at TotalWine.com, where you'll find what you love and you'll love what you find. Remember to drink responsibly. Must be 21 years old or older to order. At some point, teams have to admit it's time to hit the reset button. And one team that has never done this in the MLB for the last 15 years, even probably further, have been the Los Angeles Angels. 800-224-2004. Call on the show. Let's talk about it. So the Angels right now are sitting at 37-44, 15.5 games back in its own division. Here's the big kicker. They fired Joe Maddon. They went with Phil Nevin. They thought that a change at the front helm was going to be the difference of them being a viable contender. And every single year, they go out and they spend money in free agency. They go get relief pitching. They go get starters. They bring in a hot name. And according, you know, for multiple reasons, they should bring in a hot name. It's Los Angeles. The city itself is thriving in sports right now. More specifically, they have more money than they know what to do with. And they can get superstars to pair along with already proclaimed superstars like Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout. But then the game happens. And then 9 innings later, it feels like every single day, we're talking about an underachieving roster and an underwhelming ball club that just can't find ways to win. Mike Trout is going to be in the league for almost a dozen years. He's been to the playoff, I think, once. I think that's it. This is their best player in the MLB. We put him in a category of already one of the elites of the elites. And yet we can't talk about him in a prominent light because of the postseason. Whether or not you want to say that Bryce Harper regrets leaving Washington the season early, I don't think he regrets leaving Washington at all. Look at the situation going on with the Nationals. They can't find ways to win. They've regressed every single step of the way since the start of the 2020 season. And it's not like they're adding any talent. They keep losing names left and right. And they're back on the trade block with guys such as Josh Bell, And for the right deal, it would have to be an immensely crazy deal, Juan Soto. But you look sitting at the MLB right now and the standings and where people sit stat-wise, the Angels sit 24th in the league when it comes to batting average. I believe they sit number 7. They lead the league in strikeouts. Because they have one of the fewest stolen base counts. They have one of the lowest walk rates. Their home run total is atrociously mid. I think it's like 15th in the league, if I'm not mistaken. And they have all this power, all this superstars, all the names to actually be a candidate and should be successful. Yet they're not. And it's a wash, rinse, repeat situation. Every single year, we talk about the Angels. They go ahead and they make a big splash signing. They go ahead and they bring in a veteran. They go ahead and they add in a free agent that people cannot wait to see. And nothing happens. And it's not just pitching. And it's not just bats. And it's not just the middle of the lineup. It's front office control. The Angels have been a mess in the front office for 15 plus years, and they're not getting any better. Every single season that we talk about the Angels, it feels like that we're regressing. And it feels like at the same time, I'm just repeating myself, which is a problem in its own entity. I'm tired of saying, oh, the Angels, this is the year. They got it figured out. That's like saying the Seattle Mariners, this is the year. They're going to figure it out. They just don't. They don't make the playoffs. And it's not because of other teams in the division. Yes, Houston is good. But you're going to tell me that the Rangers are that much better? You're going to tell me that the Athletics are that much better? They're one of the lowest payrolls in all of baseball, yet they've been in the postseason more times in the last 5 years than Los Angeles has been in the last 25. And Los Angeles is in the top 5 payrolls. You can buy talent. You can buy roster control. You can bring in the right names. You can add in superstars. But it doesn't matter if your front office can't be the right situation. That's just part of it. One of the reasons why the Astros continuously are such a dominant team in the AL is because of they're led by a really good owner. And then they bring in the right people with, I won't say like superstar GMs or superstar coaches, but efficient. James Click is efficient. He makes trades, and guess what? The names that he brings in, they're fine. He went out and he got a couple of relief pitchers. He went out and he's looking at potential deals to bring in maybe Wilson Contreras, maybe go ahead and add in another bat, a left-hander. There's lots to like about what they're doing. And at the same time, you're not going to get a flashy guy in Dusty Baker, but Baker is efficient, and he's been one of the more consistent managers in the MLB for the last 35 years. Good organizations and good front offices take control. It's why you see teams sometimes have to hit that reset button to bring in the right prospects. The Astros did it. The Kansas City Royals have done it. The hope is that the Detroit Tigers are doing it. You see it all the time. Right now you're seeing it in two teams that people thought for a while should be better. The Cincinnati Reds, they're doing it. The Oakland A's, they're doing it. They're doing everything in their power to hit that reset button and start the farm system. That's what you have to do. And you have two trade chips that would bring in legitimately, in my opinion personally, the top five players in every farm system at the minimum. Moving Mike Trout, getting a guy for a superstar, that's a good way to start your farm system off. Trading away Shohei Ohtani, bringing in whatever you can conceptually via the trade market, you take that deal 10 out of 10. And it's not because of they're not worth it and that they don't want to be in Los Angeles. It's because of you can't find ways to get better. So at some point, you just have to pause. You have to look at the situation and go, it's time. It's time for us to hit the reset button. And it's going to stink. And it's going to be a problem. And unfortunately, with the way in the situation that Los Angeles is, especially in sports, yeah, you're going to want to see them be better. But you have to find a new narrative. And it feels like every single year, the Los Angeles Angels are hyped up and they let down expectations. Why? Because they're too damn good to be a bottom-dwelling team. Finally hit that reset button and admit that you are a bottom-dwelling team. Trade Mike Trout, trade Shohei Ohtani, start fresh, guys.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
He sits on his throne, questions galore, ready to torment my mind, my brain, and more potentially, my heart. Trivia Tuesday right here on Just Saying It, 800-224-2004. Call on the show. Let's talk about it. So, yesterday was the 4th of July. Happy 4th of July to all of you. Again, I really do hope that you had a safe and fun weekend. I know that there's plenty of people out there who did not have that situation. We will at least make a comment on that later on. But I do think that, again, we live in the United States of America. And even though there are times that we can say we are proud, there's problems with our country, I am an American. And I think it's really stubborn of me, and I've said this for a very long time. If I am an American, I should know my country. Just like any other country should know their country. If I am going to another country and I am applying for citizenship, I would have to take a test. And we force any single person to walk into our country to apply for citizenship, making them take a test, and a vigorous one that most Americans probably wouldn't pass. I'm going to put myself up to the test. I think we have about a dozen questions or so of the United States citizenship test I will be taking right now. Michael's got the answers on the other side. Here we go.
Question number one. What do we call the first 10 amendments of the Constitution?
That's the Bill of Rights. That's the Bill of Rights. And honestly, and I've said this for a while, James Madison does not get enough credit for what he has done for the United States. Like, he was so poignant in what he wrote in the Declaration of Independence, and then to come back and help with the Constitution. The Bill of Rights is absolutely one of the most important documents that we have in our nation's country. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people who do not understand what those first 10 amendments are actually all about.
Question number two. What is one right or freedom guaranteed by the First Amendment?
What is one right or freedom guaranteed by the First Amendment?
Yes.
Well, the First Amendment, I actually used to know all 68 words that are used in the amendment. But it's freedom of speech and religion. So you're allowed to say whatever you want, and you are protected by the Freedom of Speech Act and religion. So you're allowed to have an opinion. So freedom of speech. Yeah. I think a lot of people out there also don't understand that the First Amendment, here's the reality. You're allowed to say whatever you want. You also have to pay for the consequences. That is what the First Amendment's all about. So you can say something dumb. Also, don't be afraid to get hit back because you say something dumb. Just giving you the heads up, guys. That is what the First Amendment's all about.
Question number three. Which is the supreme law of the land?
Which is the supreme law of the land?
Yes.
Is there a multiple choice?
There is, but you should know this.
Shit. I have no idea. I'm. Is it the Declaration of Independence?
The Constitution.
Oh, God. You gotta be kidding me on that one. That one hurt. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is why I fail. I hate myself on that one. What else we got?
Question number four.
Is this one easier?
What is an amendment?
What is an amendment?
Yes.
Okay. How do I phrase it properly? An amendment is a law that is protected by the government, that is a stipulation that you have a right to. So the right to bear arms is an amendment. It's the Second Amendment. The right to a speedy trial, the right to a fair jury, the right to a jury of your peers, the right for freedom of speech and religion. They're laws that are protected by the United States.
This is tricky.
I know that I'm close. What are they looking for?
Change or addition.
A change or... Oh. Yeah. Okay. So let me rephrase that, Ben. You can add or change the way an amendment is brought up. So that's why we continuously add amendments. And that's why when people say, oh, you can't change the First Amendment. Yeah, you can, because if we've changed the amendment process, what is it, 26 times in the history of our country? Like, but that's what it is. It's a law protected by the government that you can change or ratify. You can give me an X too. Like, it's like a mix.
Yeah, I'll just give it to you.
It's like a 4.5.
Question number 5. How many amendments does the Constitution have?
Right now? Ooh. So I know that we're in the... I know it's in the 40s. Try to think. So there's the 10. Then there's 18. I want to go 46.
Final answer?
Yeah. What was it?
It's 27.
I hate myself. How'd I miss that? Wait a minute. Oh, dang it. Son of a gun. Yeah, it is. Because
yeah,
I know what the
Because
I know what the 26th is. And then I remember that they added the 27th. Ah, son of a gun. I knew I was on the right path with the 6. I was off by the 20. All right. Well, that's the second fail.
Question number 6. Which right does the Declaration of Independence establish?
Which right?
Yes.
It's not search and seizure. I don't think it's the First Amendment either. I'm trying to think on this one. Which right is protected by the First Amendment? It's not right to jury of your own peers. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to miss this one too. Right to bear arms, final answer. Yeah, all right, what was it?
I mean, what was yesterday? It's liberty.
Freedom and liberty. Oh, God. Wait. I know this now. The right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah, it's basically...
Oh, my God.
Come on. What right does the Declaration of Independence give you?
I overthought that completely. Way overthought that. What? Come on, man. Come on, Cole. You're better than that. You're so much better than that.
I got to word this one differently. Question number 7. What are the 3 branches of the government?
Executive, legislative, and judicial. Yeah. Can I name which is the big question. That's where I always have trouble. Because I know executive, but I always get legislative and judicial mixed up.
Huh.
Executive is the cabinet. So it's the president. And it's the president. Judicial is the Senate, right?
And then
legislative is Supreme Court. I'm like 95%. And that's where I always get confused. That Supreme Court is one and legislative is the other. And I think legislative is Congress and judicial. I mean, legislative is Supreme Court and judicial is Congress.
Judicial is Congress.
Yeah, okay. So I was right. Yeah.
Question number 8. If I can't pull it up, it'll come on. How many U.S. Senates is there?
How many U.S. Senates?
Yes.
I think it's 100. It's 100 because a congressman is 1 and Senate is 2. So it's 100. Yeah, it's 100. Okay. Yeah, make sure that you get to your polls because if you're going to be voting for 50 in 2022. So make sure you get out there. 100? I don't know.
What would you say?
I would say 100 senators, man.
Yeah, 2 per state.
I say.
Question number 9. How many years make up 1 term of a U.S. senator?
How many years?
Yes.
This is the confusing one for me because because the president is 4 years per term, but I think a senator is 6. I think it's 6 years per term, and you can be. And I don't think that you can stay in Senate for as long as possible. So I'm gonna go. I think it's 6. Yeah. Okay. Why did I like again? If I don't overthink this, it's like taking the SATs for me. Like I'm just sitting there. It's like I know the answer. I know that I know it too. I'm so mad at myself that it takes me this long to figure it out, though. I'm on a roll, Michael.
Got 3 wrong so far. Question number 10. How many voting members does the House of Representatives have?
How many voting members does the House of Representatives have? Oh, my God. Well, I know that the Supreme Court has 9. House of Representatives. Am I really going to overthink this? It's 50. I really overthought it. What is it?
435.
That is right. Oh, God. Oh, wait. House of Rep is completely different. Yep. Yep. And that's where we get the Electoral College. Oh, God. I hate myself.
Question number 11. How many years make up one term of the House of Representative member?
Son of a gun. It's not six. I know it's not six. Is it four? Final answer? What is it?
It's two.
Two! I'm really failing bad. Like, I'm really annoyed at myself right now. I am really, really annoyed at myself right now. Again, this is what I'm talking about. Like, I should be able to know these questions because everyone else has to know them to come into this country. So I should be able to know them too. Wow. Wow. All right, give me two more. We can get at least two more in.
What month is the U.S. presidential election held in?
Oh, November. Yeah, November. Elections are usually held in November. But yeah, the presidential election's held in November. And he's inducted into office in January. So yeah.
If both the president and vice president can no longer serve, who becomes president?
Oh, this is easy for me. This is the House of Representatives. I mean, it's the Speaker of the House.
Final answer?
Yeah. It's Speaker of the House. Yeah. See, I watched your face too, and I was like, people don't understand. I can see Michael the entire time, and when I watch him, he toys with me. He sits there and smiles and goes, "Are you sure? Are you sure? That's it. Don't underestimate me, man. I got it. One more, and we'll end on a high note.
One more,
and we will end on a high note.
What does the cabinet do?
Well, the cabinet works with the president of the United States. So that would be the secretary of defense, the vice president, the secretary of state, the treasurer. They work alongside the president in the executive branch. That is what a cabinet does. And they are highly appointed by the president himself.
So what do they do?
They work alongside the president. Oh, am I going to have to use like the checks and balances kind of thing? Like the checks and balances term?
Yeah, I mean, they work for him, but what do they do?
They're in charge of certain departments inside of the United States.
That is tough. They advise the president.
So I was close enough to where I said that they work alongside the president in certain department heads. So Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of Education, the Vice President. They work alongside the president, but advise was the word I guess they were looking for. If you can give me an X and I guess a check mark at the same time. There we go. So what are we? So what did I get? If you give me that half question wrong and this half question wrong, it brings up one full point. What I end up getting?
So we're going 10 out of 15.
10 out of 15?
10 out of 15.
So that would be... That'd be a 67%. Wow. I did not pass the United States of America citizenship test.
Yeah, you did. And if you had to take the citizenship test, you would not pass because you have to get 12 right.
I have to get 12 right.
You have
right?
to get 12 right out of 20.
Unbelievable.
So you probably could have, maybe.
I probably would have gotten 12 right if we did 20, but we didn't have time to do that. All right, Trivia Tuesday right here on Just Saying It, part of the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
For anyone out there who, again, does not understand what the First Amendment means of freedom of speech and religion, let me give you a hint. Joey Chestnut made sure that was alive and well. So for those of you who did not watch the hot dog eating contest yesterday or were on Twitter, you probably did not watch Joey Chestnut make history with another victory at the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. But he made even more headlines for what was going on during the middle of the eating contest. He was like 16 hot dogs in, and a guy comes up there wearing a Darth Vader mask saying, what was it again? Reveal Mansfield Death Star?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, reveal the Mansfield Death Star. And without missing a beat, Joey Chestnut looks at the guy, puts him in a headlock, and slams him to the ground. But the funny part was, without question, goes right back to eating. Like, it did. It like didn't faze him whatsoever. So we're talking about a guy right now who was able to body slam a protester, which in its own entity is a story in itself, but then immediately go back to guzzling down glizzies like it's no tomorrow. I don't know anybody who could even come close to that in the history of any sport. Like, I've never once seen that happen before. And you watch guys run on the field all the time at baseball games and all the time at NFL games. And most of the time, players are just sitting there. They're like, really? Are you really coming on the field? Joey Chestnut took his matters into his own hands. Said, nope, not on my territory. You can get out right now. Yeet! And then goes right back to guzzling down glizzies. American hero. I mean, let's be real, guys. He truly can be considered one of the GOATs. And at least we can say he is a GOAT in his profession. We all have our conversation starters about what we think of professional eaters. Is it a sport? Is it not a sport? You know, my thought process. But whatever you call it, sport, hobby, interest, Joey Chestnut, without a doubt, is the GOAT of competitive eating. That's locked up. And by the way, that was locked up well before this. This just added on to his legacy.